I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. C.S. Lewis, author of more than 30 books, including The Chronicles of Narnia, is considered perhaps the most influential Christian writer of his day. His The Screwtape Letters was adapted for the stage by Max McLean, who originally played the lead role of Screwtape, beginning with its off-Broadway debut in 2007, and he joins us now on the phone from Washington, D.C. Max McLean, welcome to Cityscape.
Well, thank you. Actually, I'm in New York.
Oh, okay.
We actually did the show we had really good performances and a pretty extended run at the Shakespeare Theater in D.C., but the show originated and the company originates from New York.
All right. Correction noted then. You know, we talked to you a few years ago on this program. You were in St. Louis for a performance of this work. I can't exactly remember how long ago that was.
I do remember. Yeah, it was in fall of 2010.
Wow. Well, you're back for two performances tomorrow at the Two Hill, but this time you're not on stage.
That's right. Well, I did the show many, many times, but, you know, created the role, and I had other projects that I wanted to invest in, certainly intellectually and emotionally, which you'd have to do. And when you're playing a role as large as Screwtape, that leaves room for very little else. So anyway, back in the summer of 12, we had auditions in New York for taking over the role. And the process of auditioning, we had 600 resumes and saw 18 actors and cast one, Brent Harris, and he took over the role in January of 2012. In terms of performances, he began rehearsals in November and has been tearing it up around the country. We've really been pleased by the way he's done it. He's got a lot of experience playing evil characters. Macbeth, Iago. Before he joined us, he was Scar in the national tour of The Lion King. And if you know The Lion King, he was the bad lion. So the Screwtape of that story. So he seems well qualified to fill the roles of Screwtape.
I'm sure that he is. But Max, and I know everything has its run, and you gave it a long one, but you had so much invested in that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a little bit hard to step down?
Well, you know what? In the beginning, yes, but watching Brent do it and then being able to work on other projects, which I've been doing, you know, what they say that you don't kill idols, you replace them. So I got involved in a couple of other projects, and then of course knowing that the role is in good hands, I think. If I felt like it wasn't at the level where it needs to be to carry the show, then I would have probably different feelings than I do now. But I'm very, very pleased with the fact that Brent is doing it at such a high level. Audiences are loving it, and that I can begin to work on other projects as well.
We're talking with Max McLean, the Screwtape Letters, two performances tomorrow at the Two Hill at 4 and at 8 p.m. Let's talk a little bit about the legacy of C.S. Lewis. He died 50 years ago, so I guess it's sort of special that you're touring during the 50th anniversary of his passing. And just it's strange, he died on the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Right. And in fact, if you consider the time difference, they died within an hour of each other. Lewis died in his home. And almost in anonymity, I mean, in the sense of not many people knew it at the time. Very few people were at his funeral. And yet, since then, his embers continue to blaze. More people read his work, are influenced by his work now than when he was alive. And that would have been a surprise to him when he was planning his estate. In terms of his will, the lawyer asked him, you know, what about your literary estate? You know, what are you going to do with that? And he goes, oh, don't worry about that. 5 years after I'm dead, nobody will read a word I write. And how wrong he was. So it's fitting to keep his memory alive because he's just helped so many people.
But he was you'd call him very successful while he was alive. I mean, he made a lot of money from his work, didn't he?
Well, he was not a wealthy man. He gave most of his money that he earned from his works, particularly his religious works, because he also wrote a lot of academic works. Away, he had an estate. He had a trust that most of his royalties went there. I read somewhere that I think when he died, he had less than 50,000. His whole estate was worth less than £50,000, which is, I mean, it was a decent amount of money, but not super wealthy, considering how much he wrote. He did worry about money in his life. If you read his letters, he was kind of ashamed of himself that he worried about money as much as he did. But my goodness, now, you know, just the films themselves grossed almost $1.5 billion. And I believe at some count that there were 200 million of his books have been sold since he died. So and that goes to the estate, which is run by his son-in-law, his stepson.
And on this 50th anniversary of his death, Great Britain is honoring him. They're doing some sort of memorial?
Yeah, they did that already. It's Poets Corner, which is a place, I think, at Westminster Abbey, that they have these commemorative stones to the great British literary artists, Shakespeare, Dickens, Chaucer, and Lewis joins that group.
Well, for those listening that aren't familiar with the Screwtape Letters, let's paint a picture if we could. It's a look at spiritual warfare from a demon's point of view is one way to put it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you would just read who the characters are and what it's about, you might not realize how much humor is in it.
Well, Lewis was a very clever writer, very witty writer in almost all his works, I think. And the Screwtape Letters, he writes this morally inverted, he creates this morally inverted universe where up is down, good is bad, God is called the enemy, Satan is called our father below, and Screwtape is a very high-ranking official in charge of temptation. He really understands human nature. And the plot of the play, the plot of the book, even though most people don't read it that way, but there is a story within the book, and it's essentially a predator-prey story. Screwtape's a predator, and an unsuspecting human, which is nebulously called the patient, is the prey. And we watch how Screwtape hones in on the patient. And what's interesting is Lewis tended to write himself into his books. Not that he made it known, but in the Screwtape Letters, he is the patient. And so he's reflecting on his own battles with temptation. And what he does, he takes a very specific incident in his own life, and he captures it in such a marvelous way that it has had such a universal impact. I think the Screwtape Letters is perhaps his second most best-selling of his books.
You know, we think of C.S. Lewis as a Christian writer, and when I, in my mind, think of a Christian writer, I think of them of writing more uplifting stories or positive stories. So this sort of takes me by surprise. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Lewis had this sense that he does believe that the Christian worldview will lead in the end to unspeakable joy. He says that in Mere Christianity, but not right away. That you, as he would say, you have to face facts about yourself. When you know you're sick, he'll say you'll listen to the doctor. And so he really paints a mirror. He really puts a mirror up to our selfishness primarily, and looks at it in a way that we don't like to look at. I mean, most of us don't like to look too closely at ourselves. And if we do, we don't, you know, we either make excuses or we turn away. And Lewis says, no, you really do have to look at yourself. And when you do, that actually is the first step into making change. And so the Screwtape Letters really looks closely. In fact, after writing it, he said the experience of writing it was not pleasant because he had to kind of dig up all this stuff in himself. And it caused him to go see a spiritual director and take confession, which he said was extraordinarily powerful. Not just one time, but he made it a spiritual habit to do it on a regular basis with a spiritual director. And to him, it was just a tremendous uplift. But it didn't start with uplift. It started with a kind of a sense of dread, and then he came to terms with himself and through a kind of a spiritual revelation. And that and the Screwtape Letters gives us a picture of that.
Fellowship for the Performing Arts presents the Screwtape Letters, two performances tomorrow, 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center on the campus of UMSL. If you'd like more information, we have a link to the Two Hills website at stlpublicradio.org on the Cityscape page. I know you're in New York right now. You'll be arriving in St. Louis late tonight.
I hope the
weather holds out for you.
Me too.
I have one final.
I'll be there to do the Q&A, and we actually have producers from London flying in to see the show to help us take it to New York. Take it to the UK. So we're very pleased about that. So we do hope the weather holds up.
One final question for you.
Yes.
The Screwtape Letters. We're talking the devil, demons, spiritual warfare. Yeah. Why is this a good show for the holidays?
I don't know if it. I think the holidays themselves is a sense of we have this dark world in which light has come, but in order for the light to shine in the darkness, you have to show the darkness. So, and of course, in the end, you know, Screwtape does. I guess I'm giving it away. He doesn't win in the end.
Well, I have to stop you there. So I don't,
okay.
Which is good because I don't want you to give too much away.
Right.
That's Max McLean. It's the Screwtape Letters, two performances tomorrow at the Two Hill. Max, thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful holiday season. We'll welcome you to St. Louis later tonight.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much.
You bet.